He was just saying how you can be exercising a lot. I suppose we all know this, but if you're not eating right, it's going to really be really difficult if you want to lose weight, it's going to be difficult, or to even get fit or toned or whatever you want to do, it's going to be difficult if you're not putting the right stuff in and keeping the right stuff out. Okay, the wrong stuff out. So just that basic principle. But coming to a place where you're actually craving the right things, you're craving the stuff that you need to put in. So, and it's funny enough, this week when we were praying and fasting is very healthy. We were fasting the first half of the week. Thanks for those that joined us. It was really awesome time on Wednesday of prayer. And but one of the things Pastor Fred shared around this fast was also to do with diet to a certain extent. And this has been on my heart for a bit, so I'm just going to share a little bit around that, about what are we hungry for, let's trust God for each of us to be blessed. Amen. Okay. 1 John chapter 2 from verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's quite a harsh one, huh? The love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So we're starting off with a kind of a warning about what is the world lusting after? What is the world craving? And it's a few things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and it's very much reflects the stuff that we see around us. If we look at media, if we look at the way society operates, we are being trained to yearn for certain things, because obviously people want to make money and want to sell you stuff. But we are being conditioned continually to want certain things. And have you seen this stuff? Are they advertised on the internet these days with these cookies? These cookies about stuff that, that the little bits of information that your computer is stored on your computer about stuff that you're looking for or that you want to buy, searches that you do. That's all right, eh? And I delete them. But anyway, so if I don't, then if I've looked for something, I'm sure you've seen this. If I've searched for something, if I want to buy, like we did for the office the other day, office furniture, now everywhere on the side of my, whatever I do, wherever I go, even on the Bible gateway, there's like office furniture. And I'm like, although no, maybe not on the Bible gateway, there's other stuff there. But there's just office furniture. So, they pick up on stuff like that, and then they push but not only that, the media is designed to make you think you want something. So have you that thing of where they ask you, do you feel tired in the mornings, like you haven't had enough sleep, or and then you're like, and then you need this thing, and you're like, yes, I need that thing, we know that there's a lot of stuff out there that is not good for us spiritually, but I want to focus on that this morning. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit will convict you of those things, but I want to focus on what are the things that we should be training ourselves to really desire and to yearn for and to crave for. Okay. So it ends here. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So just keep that in your mind. That he who does the will of God abides forever. We'll look at that a bit later. Okay. All right. Firstly, the word. All right. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 3. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I've had such an amazing time this last 2 weeks. I don't know if I mentioned this, but we our office in Wimbledon is in a building that with of an organization that deals with young people, like 15, 16 to 25. So, and there's a lady that works upstairs. We are downstairs. They're upstairs. There's also a Christian. Well, I'm sure there are a couple of Christian, but this specific lady, she keeps on sending people downstairs. She says people that need prayer or they are confused, or then they come there and they knock on our door. But it's really amazing. They've had two people come to salvation in the last 2 weeks. And again, on Monday, this lady came in there. She's young, and she's got a lifetime of challenges she's worked through, including juvenile prison, etc. But praise God, now she's born again. But she's got a hunger. She's got a desire to walk, to fix her life, to have God fix her life. But one of the things I'm just noticing again, how important it is to right from the beginning, because now these ladies, specifically this one that got saved last week, does not have a hunger for the word. Let's just be honest with that. She has no desire to read the word. But and so I took some time to really to explain now. You have to develop this hunger. You have to develop this capacity, because it's not there naturally. It's not a natural desire to sit and read this old book that people have funny ideas about. It's not natural. But it's such a powerful picture here. But it says here, as newborn babes, desire the pure as milk of the word. That's a good picture, because have you seen a newborn desire milk? It's it's quite loud. And and David's not even newborn anymore, but he's still going for it. But it's a beautiful picture, because they can't go without it. That's all they drink. And that's all that they need, and everything they need is in there, even like medicine stuff. There's like amazing stuff in that milk, and it's the same with the scripture for us as believers who want to grow. And I found that we make assumptions about what we as believers, what we have, what good habits we have, and I found that often our habits around the word is not as good as we think they are. And I want to just challenge you with that, guys. If you've been a believer for a couple of years and you found yourself not having a good habit of eating, of getting scripture in, then I want to challenge you. Don't let it slide. Don't think it will be better tomorrow. Make up an point of making yourself accountable. Okay, start with a couple of minutes a day. Even if you have to use a program or a day piece or whatever, a tool to help you. But start with a couple of minutes and have somebody keep you accountable and get in that word. I spoke to those two ladies last week and I said to them, I can guarantee it. If I were a betting man, I will bet on it that if you read the scripture for 40 days every day, your life will be different. And I can absolutely do that, the same with you. I can give you 100% guarantee, not because of anything that I can manufacture, but because it's the word of God. Okay, so I just want to throw that out there. If this is not part of your daily, routine or daily habits, then I want to challenge you about that. Let's look quickly at Hebrews 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It's a lot in here. Okay, I'm just going to pick a few things. But it talks about maturing, right? I want to encourage guys, we can't stay spiritual babies forever. Okay, so there's a few things. So he's challenging these guys. He's saying, some of you need to have been teachers already. You're supposed to be teaching others, and you're still not able to, you're kind of still on milk because you haven't been eating enough. Okay, you haven't been growing. It says that everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Okay, who's still a baby. There's nothing wrong with being a baby in Christ, but you don't want to be there forever. Amen. It's very cute now if David is screaming for milk or food, but when he does that when he's 16, it will not be cute anymore, right? Okay. I just want to focus on the last bit here. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Do you see this? Those who have been practicing, those that have been exercising their senses, are able to discern good and evil. So there's a maturing that happens when we get in the solid food of the word, and there's also maturing that happens when we practice what we read in the scripture. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a moment. But there's an appetite that we develop, and then there's a practicing of what we read. And that's why we need to be accountable. To be honest, it's easy to read stuff and they have a conviction and then move on with your life. And scripture talks about that. It's like somebody that looks in the mirror, and then the moment you turn away, you've forgotten what you saw. So I want to encourage us. We've just done a bit of a shuffle of the small groups, and most of you have gotten that email. If you're not in a small group and you would like to be chat to me, but that is the perfect opportunity to say to somebody in a small group, listen, I want to get into the word. I want to grow in the word. I want to become strong. I want to grab a hold of everything that God has prepared for me. I don't want to do only half. I'm not happy with 30%. I want to do 100%. Amen. I don't want to look back on my life and have God say, you know what, it was great and was blessed, but this is everything you missed out on. I don't want that. All right? And small group is the perfect place to say, whoever, you know, John, help me with this. Let's do this together. Let's read the scripture. Let's study the word. Let's do Bible school together, so that we can grow in the faith. Okay. Okay. Let's just quickly see. Just one last thing on that. So in terms of developing appetite, how do you do that with food? Right. If I don't like vegetables, if my children don't like vegetables, to develop an appetite, they have to eat the vegetables. And if I have to force them for a while, which is not easy, but that's the only way they're going to develop an appetite, is by eating it. So I'm going to challenge you, if you don't have an appetite for the word, or if you tell me, no, I don't really read, like, there's audio Bibles these days as well, but trust God to develop that appetite. But it's going to start with you deciding, you know what, this is life or death. This is important to me. I've got to make this happen, so I'm going to get the word in. And secondly, even in terms of exercise, spiritual exercise, praying in the spirit, guys. I've just been convicted recently. It's not something I maybe encourage everybody enough with, but praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, it's one of those ways that we build up our faith. And it's the best way, because you can do other things while you're doing it. You can do it while you're driving, while you're doing whatever. You can be praying in the spirit. And it builds our faith and it strengthens our spirit in a very powerful way. I remember when we went on mission in India, and I experienced it the other day in the Netherlands as well, actually. We were in a place that was, we were going to pray at a specific church. And as we arrived there, I just felt really like a heaviness in the spirit. I don't know how to describe that. But there was definitely resistance to what we wanted to do. And just praying in the spirit enabled us to get past that. And in India, it was so bad, actually. I mean, there is a lot of, obviously, the spiritual atmosphere there, if you want to call it that, is heavy with curses and with demonic activity, etc. So it physically feels heavy. It physically feels like you're struggling to breathe. Especially if you go into some of those temples or places of worship, it literally feels like somebody's sitting on your chest and you're struggling to breathe. I mean, I kid you not. And only by praying in the spirit was that better. And I will just there, it's so physical that you actually you recognize what the change when you start praying in the spirit. Okay, because here maybe it's not as hectic, but it's no less effective. Are you with me? So I want to challenge you with that. If you how many minutes do you spend praying in the Spirit every day? And maybe it's like asking somebody, you know, do you play squash? And you say, no, I don't play squash. But I want to encourage you, if you're a believer, if you have a relationship with God and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, then I want to encourage you to grow in this. It's going to bless you. It's going to change your life. I try to do it when I'm driving, when I'm not worshiping. I'm trying to pray in the Spirit. It's really good for your driving as well and your patience while you're driving. Okay, so exercise in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit. Okay. In terms of capacity, so there's appetite and there's capacity. Capacity in terms of how much can I eat. Okay, physically, that's not, don't push it. But spiritually, you know, build up a capacity. Sadly, I have quite a capacity to eat food. It's gotten less so after 30. But build up your capacity for Scripture and for praying in the Spirit. So that, again, the only way you do that is by doing more of it. So Adna has been training for this half marathon very faithfully. And I'm sure if I'm going to have to run against her now, she's going to put me to shame. And my ego will be in pieces. But she's been building up the capacity. So it's, you know, it's been just little bits, but then longer and longer and longer. Now she's doing 10Ks and more. And I don't know if I'll make two at this stage. But she's building that capacity. So I want to go, guys, don't start with 4 hours the first day and then be discouraged. Start with bits, but start. Okay. I mean, let's go. All right, Psalm 42, 1 and 2. Another thing that we yearn for, that we hunger for, is the presence of God. So let's from verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? And then Psalm 16, 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There are hundreds of scriptures like this. Oh, wait, there we go. 84:10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And most of these are Psalms of David, and he knew the presence of God. We spoke about his life a week or two ago. He lived from that place of intimacy, and it showed. Look what he accomplished. Okay, the amazing thing was he's a normal guy, so lots of faults as well. But he was operating from covenant relationship and from the presence of God. So we see him take on Goliath. We see the miraculous thing things happening around him. We see him raise up 400 random guys into 400 mighty men. We see an anointing upon his life that comes from this understanding that the presence of God is where it happens. When I choose to get into God's face, when I choose to set time aside, when I choose to say, Lord, you are my source, as Jan Louis was saying earlier. And again, that doesn't mean I have to pray for 10 hours a day. This is not an acceptance thing, guys. Please get this right. This is not, if you don't do this, you'll go to hell. It's not like that. God loves you. Your sins are forgiven. This is not earning your salvation or earning forgiveness. This is working out your salvation. Do you see the difference? What we do with the cross in terms of if we receive God, if we have been born again, and we have Jesus as our Savior, yes, we have eternal life. But then we work out our salvation in terms of we work out that daily process of becoming like Christ. And this is crucial for that. Amen? So this is not, if I spend more time with God, he's going to love me more. It's not like that. It's so that I can grow, so that I can be transformed into his image. Have you noticed remember that friend that you had at school or at varsity, and you spent really a lot of time together, and after a while you spoke the same. Did you ever got somebody like that? You had similar things that you said, or you had like these little sayings, and maybe hopefully not many of the guys, but you know, that happens. If you spend a lot of time, you start talking in similar ways. or you start doing things similarly, or you know what the person will prefer in a certain situation. That is because you're spending time with them, right? It's the same with God, praise the Lord. The more we spend time in His Word and His presence, the more we get to know His will. The easier it is to discern, the earlier scripture said, good and evil, and we begin to act like Him, begin to know what God will prefer in a certain situation. Are you with me? That's precious, guys. There's no substitute for this. Okay. Amen. And that's what we hunger for. And so beautiful when David says, like that water. We've been fasting and we go without food for days. You can go without food for quite long, actually. But water, you can't go without. But somehow we think we're okay spiritually if we don't eat the Word and if we don't get into the presence of God. We think, no, I'll be fine. No, you'll not be fine. Okay. And I don't want to be just fine. I'm just so challenged with that. These guys. After I had to go and pray for that dead guy the other day, if you haven't heard this story, come and ask me about it. I'm just so challenged that God has got abundance for us every day. But why do we just settle for, okay, we'll just make it? I don't want to just make it. I mean, all right. Let's go on. John 4, I'm just going to quickly read this bit from, Jesus was just ministering to the lady at the well, at the Samaritan woman at the well, and this is afterwards. The disciples had gone away to fetch something to eat because Jesus was hungry, but actually he was just getting rid of them so he could speak to this lady. And now they're back, verse 31. In the meantime, his disciple urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, excuse me, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Did he stop at Papa John's? No. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Powerful stuff here. Jesus explains that what really satisfies him, what really fills him up, is to do the will of the Father. Guys, we are made in the Spirit of God, in the image of God, so we are spirit beings. There is nothing that will satisfy you more than this thing. There will nothing that will fill you up in terms of making you feel full spiritually like this, like doing the will of God. And Jesus demonstrates this in a very powerful way. But then he says also that to finish his work. And then he challenges the guys. He says, you think the harvest is still away, you know, some way ahead. He says, it's right now. I've just been the last couple of weeks, you know, just God is just opening my eyes again for opportunities every day to trust God, to connect with people. And the more I do it, the more I hear those unctions, the more I respond to them, the more I want to do it. And the more I actually crave that, wanting to do His will, wanting to connect with people, wanting to know what God's doing in every situation, because I crave that fulfillment of doing His will. Are you with me? And guys, I know we live in a very carnal world and everything around us is about stuff that, again, that we, you know, stuff you eat and stuff you do and just being comfortable and, you know, but we are spirit beings. And this here, it works about food for eternal life. There's only a couple of things that we can take with us into eternity, right? One of them is souls. There's nothing much more. But he's talking, what I was going to say is that us as spirit beings have to be fulfilled spiritually. And this is by doing the will of the Father. Okay, let's quickly show you this next one. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Very, it's like conflicting, it almost seems here, because he's talking about a yoke, which is normally like a heavy thing. It's something that you carry, it's a burden. But he's saying, listen, if you are tired, if you are stressed, if you are struggling through things, you've got the wrong yoke. You need to take my yoke. My will is going to fulfill you. If you're struggling, if you, you know, if you feel burned, you're burning out, or you're wrestling through stuff, or you're not getting anywhere, you got the wrong yoke. Jesus is saying, come to me. Take my yoke. Learn from me. How powerful is that? You can learn from Jesus. I mean, what else do you want to do? I will give you rest. It's in that place of yoking with Christ that we rest. It's in the place of taking down every other nonsense, every other yoke that I'm carrying, and taking on the yoke of Christ. That's where I'm. That's where I can rest, and I can learn from Him, and I can be fulfilled. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That is the place where we find rest. That's the place where we find fulfillment. The media, the world will tell you many other things, but Jesus says, "Come to me." My brother-in-law and I were chatting yesterday about somebody we know, and this person is just experiencing a lot of frustration in their life. They are working hard, they're doing a lot of things, and but there's lots of frustration, and they don't see a lot of fruit. And we both care for this person. And I was reminded of something that came up in a decision in Haggai chapter 1, where it speaks about you laboring and you sowing, and there's not fruit happening, and you're putting money in your purse or your wallet, and there's holes in it, so money is falling out. So there's frustration. You're doing a lot and you're working hard, but God is frustrating your efforts because your priorities are all mixed up. And this is exactly what's happening, I believe, in this friend of ours, this person's life. Because their priorities are all mixed up. And they're not seeking the kingdom. And they're not focusing on Christ. They're not focusing on His will. They're trying to make their own thing happening. So they're trying so hard to make it happen and they're so frustrated because their efforts are coming to nothing. And I was just reminded of that Haggai chapter 1. And I want to chat to him and I want to give him this and say, you got the wrong yoke. That yoke will kill you, that one you've got now. It'll kill you. This one will give you life. I want to encourage you, if you've been frustrated with certain things, if you're feeling like you're sowing and you're working hard and you're putting something so much in, but somewhere that's coming out again, there's nothing more frustrating than that. If you're putting something in and somewhere it's leaking and you don't know where it is. If you're in that situation, I want to encourage you to go and humble yourself before God. I say, Lord, where have I got stuff mixed up? And it just ties in with the next one here, Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. If you want to be filled, you need to hunger and thirst for the right things. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And Matthew 6, 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? After all these things, Gentile seeks. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Guys, we know this and we talk about it a lot. But in terms of your craving, what are you craving for? What is that desire in you? Are you hungering? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? What is your default? Let me ask you that. I'm sorry, guys. This is not a woo message. A little bit challenging. But I believe this is a key for some of us to step into real life, to step into the kind of life that King David experienced, an abundance, a kind of life where people look and say, this is not natural. This is supernatural. This is not normal. I don't know about you, but I want people to look at my life and say, this is not normal. This is God. This guy's been with Jesus. This is something different. Are you with me? So there's a challenge here in terms of developing this appetite, saying, Lord, this is the most important thing. is that your kingdom come. I seek your righteousness. I hunger and thirst for that. And again, it's a, something that we build. It's something, a capacity that we create and an appetite and a thirst that we do. How do we do that? One of the things is through intercession. We had such great times in prayer this week. And you can ask some of the guys that joined us, Jurgensen and Nien and them. I mean, it's such a blessing because you're submitting yourselves to the will of God. He's saying, Lord, what's on your heart? No longer we're worried about what's on my case, what's my priority, what's I'm stressing about. Lord, what are you? What's on your heart? And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing that draws us closer to God in such a beautiful way than when we say, Lord, okay, I'm setting my stuff aside. I want to know what's on your heart. Amen. I want to desire what you desire. I want to know what your will is. And as I was saying, again, it's a capacity. I mean, and the more I do it, the more I want to do it. The more I want to connect with God in every situation, the easier it gets. The other day I was at Jewson's picking up some wood for building a shelf. It looks okay. Okay, you can come and inspect it if you want to. But there's this guy that was helping us, and we could just have a quick chat. But, you know, I asked him about, we spoke about faith very briefly. We spoke about church. But it was just a connection point. And I could encourage him a bit and invite him to church. But that's daily, guys. It's daily those opportunities come. And I told you about the couple at the barbecue the other day. I'm sure when they came to the barbecue, they're South African, so they just wanted some good meat and some, you know, a good South African barbecue. They didn't realize these are all a bunch of Christians, and everybody's going to preach at them now. But we had such a great chat, we had such a good conversation. It was just amazing those opportunities that are there every day. And often, you know, with atheists, it's as if we shy away, guys. Because they're atheists, they're against what you believe. They're not doing their own thing. They're against, which is a bit different than a Hindu guy, you know. But guys, they're just as much in need of our love and our grace and whatever we can do, our service, as anybody else. Okay, so I want to challenge you. Don't limit God with that. All right, let's close. Okay. Oops, okay. Psalm 2 verse 8, let's close with this. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. This is God speaking to his son. And I believe this is part of our inheritance. There's something here in terms of a boldness to ask God for what is ours. And that's part of what Fred was sharing with us about the fast, is to come to a place where we recognize Jesus teaches us when he teaches us to pray, to ask for daily bread. Right? And part of that daily bread is souls. Part of that daily bread is an inheritance of the kingdom happening right now. And in another bit in Matthew 15, there's a place where the lady comes to Christ and she asks him to heal her daughter. And he says a weird thing. He says to her, I'm here. It's clear that she's not a Jew, right? She's from a different nation. He says, I'm here for the Jews. And she says, you know, basically what he says is, you know, it's not good to take the food from the children. He says, but even some of the crumbs that fall off the table, you know. So she takes that analogy a bit further. Go and read it. It's really interesting. But then he responds to her faith and her daughter is healed. But the point is he's talking about the gospel as if it's bread that you're giving to somebody. And I want to say that's part of the daily bread we're asking for the bread that we get so we can give to people, but also the bread of doing his will, of being fulfilled by doing his will, right? That place of being full. And, you know, I don't know about you again, what is your default? If you want to be fulfilled, what do you do? Do you do sport? Or if you're feeling out of sorts, what is your default setting? Don't you don't need you to answer. But just go and think about it. Where do I run when I'm not feeling well, or I need something? Do I go to the fridge, or do I yearn to see the kingdom come? Do I yearn for His presence? Do I yearn for what's on His heart? Okay, let's stand this morning. Let's just pray.